Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are here. We look a little different. It's because of the coronavirus, which is really, really taking LA out right now. But I've got a beautiful panel, our first full panel show, surprisingly on Zoom. It's an app we are using to stream this show tonight. We will be doing this format for the next couple of weeks while LA is in quarantine. But I'm very excited to talk about the latest episode of The Walking Dead, episode 12, season 10. I've got an awesome panel. April Wissenhant is up there in the corner.
Oh, hey, everybody. Coroned out over here.
April is serving up Maggie realness right now.
You know,
we've got Cedric Welton down there in the bottom right hand, depending on how you're looking at your screen.
Hey, what's up, guys? This actually seems very fitting that we're talking about The Walking Dead on quarantine.
Anybody does.
I totally agree with you. And I've got Benny Adams. It wouldn't be a show without Benny Adams right there on the left hand.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is pretty cool that we're doing this. I'm stoked.
Yeah, we're very, very excited, guys. Cedric, I'm glad that you pointed out that it's like pretty much The Walking Dead and there's a quarantine outside. I mean, is everybody ready for the zombie apocalypse? Because I surely was not. I probably would have been the first one to die, you guys.
I literally said to my friends earlier, I was like, I did The Walking Dead after show. Don't worry, I got you. So we're all good, okay? If you want anyone on your side, on us. In zombie apocalypse, yeah, which is kind of what it feels like right now.
We're going to April's house.
Yeah.
I'm with that. Yeah. I totally didn't stock up on food, so I'm a little behind. So, and all stores are complete madness now.
I don't have a lot of food, but I have a lot of wine. So if you like wine, you're good.
There you go.
All righty, guys. Well, let's get down to it. I mean, the reason that we are here, you guys, is to talk about The Walking Dead, not quarantining of Los Angeles, which I'm sure everybody's very excited about. So we do have our special segments at the end of the episode, you guys. We've got our dead weight segment, which is going to be the person who didn't really pull their weight this episode. And we've got our favorite kill. There were a lot of kills this episode, so I'm sure we're all going to have varying opinions on that. Let us know what you guys think of in the chat. We do have the chat going on. April is in the chat right now, so we're going to give some shout outs later on. April, you're awesome. So guys, let's start off with overall thoughts of the episode. April, I want to start with you.
I mean, obviously, just sheer shock. Like, so many of my friends and I were talking about it last night. I was not expecting everything that went down to happen in this episode. So it was a lot. I loved it. I loved how everything happened. We've all kind of hypothesized about how these things would happen and how they would, you know, who would do this and who would do that. And I am completely happy with how it happened. I'm very curious to see what y'all thought about it.
Same. Cedric, what are your overall thoughts on the episode?
Man, I watched this episode pretty late last night and mind blown. Like, I just knew that we were going to lose some people here soon. I thought it was going to be Carol, but to lose like the biggest villain just like that and all this other stuff. And then there's some beautiful scenes in the episode as well. The scenes where you see Daryl tending to Rick's kids, the scene with Eugene and Carol when they're talking about what they're talking about. The long-term story building right here, the character development is so beautiful. That's why I love this show.
I agree. There were definitely a lot of storylines that we saw tonight that with characters that normally don't have scenes together. So we're definitely going to be talking about those scenes. Benny, what were your overall thoughts on the episode?
Literally, after the end of this episode, I literally said out loud, oh my gosh. Like, Joe has been killing it lately. Like, episode after episode. Like, each episode feels like a season finale or a mid-season finale. So yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really good.
I completely agree with all of you guys. I literally had to pick up my jaw off the floor for that ending because, and once again, we talked about this time after time with The Walking Dead. They always surprise us. You expect them to do something crazy for, you know, a mid-season premiere or, you know, a season finale. But no, episode 12, they're pulling out, you know, deaths and character deaths and villain deaths and twists. And, you know, I mean, I love the episode, and let's dive into it, shall we? So where we left our group, was at the hilltop. They are being attacked by the Whisperers. So mad I missed last week's episode, because last week's episode was also very awesome, very good. So pretty much they're setting fire to everything, and Daryl and our group is pretty much stuck outside, you know, battling the Walkers and the Whisperers mixed in with the Walkers. Now, in this first scene, did you guys think that we were going to lose everybody?
I mean, we've talked about it so much that we had to know we were going to lose people. I didn't think we were going to lose, like you said, who we were going to lose. Obviously, we didn't in this way, but I definitely, the whole episode was kind of like waiting for it. But I said last week, I'm still kind of like surprised that it went down how it went down, because it looked like, you know, this is an all-out war. Everybody's dead basically except the Whisperers. So I was a little like, okay, how did these people end up getting away? We didn't see that so much, but I also don't really care because it was just so good. But yeah, I expected for us to lose some people, but not in the way that we did. So, you know, they just surprised us with all of that, of course, as per usual.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually pretty surprised that we lost people, because these past few episodes, they haven't really been killing off the people that we thought they would be killing off. They've been keeping them around. So when we did see the people who died, I was just like, wow, that was just right out of left field. So yeah, I thought that was pretty crazy.
Me, I was waiting for the trickle-down effect. I actually didn't think we would see people die from the fight scene, but I was waiting for the big spin of who was going to die. Like, not only did we see two people on camera die, but we got clarification on Connie in the cave, too. So, like, we lost three pseudo-main characters, if you would. But I was constantly waiting for the trickle-down effect. I didn't think it was going to hit that hard, though. Like, they completely slapped us in the face with this one. I didn't expect that.
Wait, did we get clarification on the Connie situation? I'm still not fully clear on that.
Yes, actually, in the scene where Magma is back, and then remember, I forget the other young lady's name that punched Carol in the face. What's her name?
Oh, God.
Mika.
Mika. And by the way, Carol ate that punch. Kudos to Carol. She ate that.
Sure did.
but no, Magma's telling Mika that they were getting ready to exit the cave and whatnot, and then her hand is let go of Connie.
But this is why I said it wasn't full-on clarification for me, because in the times where we thought people were definitely for sure dead, just like, I mean, I kind of assumed that maybe they weren't, because we always, typically with the main character, we see a death, but I feel like they left it open here. They left it open to be like, I think she said, like, and I looked back and she was just gone, or I lost her, or something like that. So I still have hope for Connie a little bit. I'm not completely writing her off. That's why I was like, oh, maybe I missed something. Maybe they did say, like, I saw her die. But yeah, I still have hope for Connie and Daryl, maybe.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, you never know. I mean, there's definitely that budding love story. We didn't really get much of it this episode. I mean, I'm surprised Daryl hasn't really been talking about it. I mean, obviously he's, you know, busy with other things, but
yeah,
I would expect him to at least have had a moment with Miko with Magma at some point. I love the part where, you know, where Miko is looking at the Walkers while they're coming into the hilltop, and she sees Magma walking with the Walkers. A brilliant, I expect Connie with her. So it's kind of sad that they got separated, and I'm hoping nothing happened to her, because I really do like her character.
I mean, I was surprised because I thought that they saw each other, meaning Magna and Miko. Like, I was like, oh, they're looking at each other, but I guess that isn't necessarily the case, or wasn't at the time. And even as we see, like, obviously later in the episode with the two of them talking, like, it seemed like she is content with being with the Whisperers at this point. I mean, did y'all think the same thing?
No, I definitely didn't pick that up. I thought that, you know, she had to do what she needed to do to survive. And if that was, you know, covering herself in Walker guts and walking with them, I mean, yeah, it was a pretty smart move, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think at this point in season 10, that's like one of the worst kept secrets. All you got to do is put Walker blood on your body and walk with him at this point. I think she knew that going in and leaving the cave. She was like, all right, I'm just going to find a herd and slow foot my way to home base.
Yeah,
I definitely think that moment had changed her in the caves, like being locked in the caves or being trapped in the caves and having to escape the way that she escaped, because she definitely didn't seem like herself anymore. She seemed kind of like a shell of herself.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in seeing how her character is going to progress after this.
Same. You know what I didn't think was a smart move? Eugene running into the fire for the radio. Can we talk about that for a second?
Eugene!
Lovely Eugene. Love this guy.
Okay, Benny, you have to say he is over Rosita with what he did. You don't do what he did for a lady that you don't really like.
Hey, they're setting up a storyline for him where I think that their relationship is kind of growing apart, but I think in the end it's going to come closer together because of this girl that he is fond of, because I don't think it's going to go well anyway. I have hope.
I hope it does.
I still have hope.
I hope he doesn't get stood up or something, man. I hope not.
I mean, if he's going to go out of his way to do what he's about to do after, like, the Hilltop just got ruined, then I mean, true love? I don't know. Eugene deserves love.
Yeah. It will, he definitely deserves someone. Like, I, since day one, like, he's never, since we first got introduced to him, he's never really had anyone. You know, he was the guy who made up the story about there was a cure for the whole virus thing, and then he became infatuated with Rosita, and he's been infatuated with her for seasons after season. So I think it's time that he finally gets the girl.
Yeah,
I think that was so beautiful about that scene right there. You hit it on the head. He was the guy that lied to get his way through the zombie apocalypse. So him and Carol have so much in relatable with their characters that they both led people astray for like a common goal. That was great storytelling right there. That was probably my favorite part in the whole episode.
That's true, for sure. Everyone in chat is lit up, by the way. They said that everyone is here. Connie is not dead. And DG thinks that Eugene is in Rico Suave mode. So.
Okay.
I mean, he needs to cut his hair and get rid of that mullet in order to be the Rico Suave. I can't stand the long mullet.
It takes work to keep a mullet up. So, like, what are you doing, Gene?
Hey, it's a new trend. It's a new trend.
Okay, Benny, you can throw a mullet and let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what happens. One negative that I have to say about the episode was I did feel that it was a little discombobulated with the timeline a little bit, because, you know, the last kind of thing we see is Eugene running into the house for the radio, and then it kind of cuts to the next morning. So it kind of left me wondering, like, what happened? And then all of our group is pretty much just spread out. Was anybody else following, like, what? Because I was a little lost.
I actually liked how they were spread out. It gave me, I can't remember what season this was, but it gave me, I want to say it was season 4 or 5 vibes, where they were at the jail and the jail cell got attacked and they all got separated and they were all in these different groups. So it gave me that vibe. So I thought that was pretty cool. It was like a little flashback type of thing.
Yeah. I was only confused at the end whenever we're, you know, I don't want to jump ahead to the big shebang, but whenever it was Negan, Alpha, Lydia, when we're seeing all of that happen, that confused me, because, I mean, now that we know what happened, it's not confusing, but at the time I was like, wait, was she there before? Did she get out? And is this like a jump ahead or, you know, a fall back? I was confused asked at that point, but I just assumed it was all kind of in the general same amount of time. It did leave me wondering, like, how long was Ezekiel under the whole pile of debris until someone randomly pulled him out? Because that seemed like a fair amount of time.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't confused per se. This episode literally had me on the edge of my seat every second. I mean, if I had any lingering questions about the episode, it would be like, where did Negan actually take Lydia?
He randomly right?
Yeah, he just, I think he took her to a completely different shed, like kind of saving her in a sense. Cause like when she got free, I don't even think she knew where she was at. So
yeah, that was interesting. Whatever that was.
My whole thing is, why did he tie her up then?
Maybe he was trying to sell it.
That's a good question.
Maybe. I thought that he was giving her, I thought he was stalling Alpha and giving her time to escape. But I'm like, if you put her in a completely different location, what's the point of tying her up?
Maybe so that he could, once, you know, he did whatever he did or planned to do with Alpha, which I want to know what y'all think about what he actually planned versus what he actually did. I think maybe he was like, oh, okay, let me tie her up to keep her here so she'll be there whenever I leave. Because Lydia's a runner, so either way, he kind of like wanted to save her. And saving her, whether it's bringing her back to her mom or to the people of Alexandria, it's, you know, she's going to run no matter what because he wanted her there.
And so I think he was done.
Right. I think he caught her basically to try to protect her, but like it was going to go bad with her either way. She was always going to try to run.
Yeah. I don't want to jump too far to the end yet. Yeah. I do want to talk about our first kind of major death in the episode, which was Gamma, or Mary, as we've come to know her, because I wasn't expecting it. I thought that Thora Birch, who plays Gamma, was actually going to last a lot longer in the season. I thought there was going to be more conflict between her and, you know, Beta, or her and Alpha. But, you know, she went out a hero. She went out protecting her nephew. I'm glad that she had those last moments with her nephew. What are your guys' thoughts on, you know, how Gamma went out?
I am not surprised whatsoever that he was killed off. Literally, as soon as she got the walkers away and she killed them, she had that sigh of relief. She looked up into the sun and she was like, oh, this is good. I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad. That's how it always is. And then all of a sudden, you know, it happened. So I wasn't surprised whatsoever.
I was surprised because I thought, like you said, Tim, she was going to be on a lot more. I thought there was a lot more that they even could have done with her character because we haven't had a Whisperer fully redeemed. Basically, from every other villain group we've had before, we've always had someone that's been redeemed. And I guess we could say that she was, but now, Benny, I do agree with you. In the moment where like she lifted her head and said, oh, this is so amazing, I was like, you're dead, because you don't do that often. You're dead.
You never let your guard down.
Exactly. Before that, I thought, like, just as a show, she was gonna be here. I mean, I'm happy that they gave her the moment, like, with her nephew, and they gave her the moment of, like, okay, maybe these people possibly could trust you. But then I think that's why they did it, because they knew we wouldn't be like, oh, you just, you know, saved this girl. Now we're gonna, you know, kill you with a machete.
Yeah.
They always kill off the ones we get attached to, like, right when we get attached to them, but, like, Soon as she looked at the flowers, I knew she was gone. I just thought it was going to be Alpha instead of Beta, which was, of course, Beta was on her tail for Alpha, for his affection for Alpha, which, what was that when part of his mask came out and the guy in the field was like, oh, I knew it was
you. Oh, my gosh.
We know.
Yes.
Okay, so Benny, you tell us, because I think you revealed it to us last season.
So yeah, they teased Gamma or Beta in Fear the Walking Dead. There was like some news and gossip that we shared where one of the characters in Fear dropped a couple of CDs. So there are a bunch of like reports that Gamma is a famous artist.
Beta.
or yeah, Beta is a famous artist. And so that kind of proved that theory in this episode when the guy was like, I knew you sounded familiar when his mask got ripped off. So I thought that was pretty cool because he actually is a famous like artist.
He said he like recognized his voice or something like that, which I think is, it's a good way for them to try to like blend the shows together because they've done crossovers with the different characters. But something like this, and especially a connection with The Walking Dead more than like Walking Dead going to Fear the Walking Dead, is always going to connect viewers probably a little more. So it was super cool. But if you didn't watch Fear the Walking Dead, you should. And that is how you would know it most definitely.
I want to talk about Carol and Eugene next, because these are two characters that normally don't have scenes together. And it's in the moment when Carol, Eugene, Magna, and Nico are in the woods together after the whole war at Hilltop. And essentially, this is after Nico, you know, decks Carol in the face. And Carol and Eugene have this really nice moment where Eugene kind of opens up to her about this whole meeting that he has, that he was looking forward to. And, you know, that's why he wanted to go and get the radio. And, you know, Carol tells him pretty much, you know, if this is who you want, then go and get her. Which is surprising to me because Carol's normally not like that. She hasn't really had a love interest in the show. So it really surprised me that she was able to give love advice when she struggled with her own love life. What did you guys think about the Carol and Eugene moment?
I think it's more so her trying to, you know, she just got done telling him, you know, haven't you ever wanted something so bad that you lose sight of everything else? And they're talking about two different things here, obviously. Carol is talking about wanting to kill Alpha. He's talking about this lady, I believe we said her name is Stephanie. I forgot. Correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
though.
Stephanie is correct.
Over a CB radio. So I think because she has been so one-track minded on that, and basically she was going to do it no matter what, it's kind of the same scenario, just two different situations. Hers is like revenge, his is love. So that's why I thought she was saying that in that moment, because like you said, she had just been slapped. She cares what she did. She cares that like people got hurt, but she's also like, I want Alpha dead. So
Yeah, I completely agree with that. She knows that Eugene really wants this girl and has feelings for her. And like April said, it's not the same thing, but it is the same thing. You know, she wants Alpha dead, and she will do whatever it takes to get her dead. And so I think she wants Eugene to do whatever it takes to get this girl that he really likes, possibly loves.
Yeah, I think Carol's been so broken since the first half of this season. Like, that was her chance to kind of have some redemption after pretty much eating that punch. But kind of have some redemption and kind of be a human again and be her old self and say, you know what, go after what makes you happy. In her way, like April said, she's trying to go after what she feels can make her happy. And she saw Eugene show a pure level of emotion. It's like, hey, just go for it. Like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah. I want to talk about our second death now of the episode, which was Earl. Now, this moment hit me, and I want to know your guys' thoughts on it. This moment hit me a lot harder than I thought it would. I was never really attached to Earl and Tammy. I always thought Earl was, you know, nice, and he was like a good character, but I never really was emotionally attached to him until this moment where he's, you know, trying to protect these kids, and we find out that he was bit, and he essentially has to come to this, you know, choice of having to kill himself or turn into a walker. Now, what did you guys think about this moment?
Oh, I felt the same thing. We talked about it with a few other characters, how you don't necessarily realize that they have had this type of impact on you as a viewer. I totally agree. Earl, okay. The whole thing tore me up just because like this man was obviously so attached to the baby that he was taking care of, and you know, himself over anyone else is the one with this, I don't know how many kids were in there, but let's say like 8 to 10, a lot of kids either way. And the fact that he, you know, the way that he ended up going out, I think is probably the most difficult way we've ever seen anyone go out as, you know, knowing that they have a walker bite ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think his death was something bigger for Judith, because, you know, here's this little girl and she's being placed in this situation as the leader. He's handing over the leader spot to her because he knows he's not going to be here. And for Judith, I think this is going to be a really big shift in her storyline, because she's witnessing this traumatic event. And now she's just like, you know, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a kid. And so it was definitely interesting to just see her in that light, and just to see her after his death, like what happened to her after his death.
Yeah.
I wasn't attached to Earl per se. Like I agree that this is a big moment for Judith, because I can't remember the last time we had a really big bite scene death. And the only thing that comes to mind is Carl. And this makes me think that Judith is about to be such a badass. She's going to become like how Carl was before we lost him. Because I actually thought Judith was going to have to pull the trigger and kill Earl herself, because she knew. And this is like the second time she had a close run-in with killing a human being from what happened earlier in the show. So I think her seeing that twice is going to make her kind of go numb into a sense and realize, okay, this isn't normal anymore, and adjust more to anything.
Benny, I'm glad that you brought up that moment with Judith, because there was a moment in the last episode where, you know, she says, oh, I killed those walkers. And her and Daryl have this moment. And Daryl goes, you know, they weren't just walkers. And I don't think she fully understood what that meant until this moment with Earl, when she had to essentially put him down. And we can see on the screen that it has affected her, because Daryl has to comfort her. But I think she finally understands that, you know, these are people that you get attached to, and when you have to kill them, it's essentially like you didn't kill them, but you did kill them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And she's definitely, I think she's definitely going to grow from this even more. Like, she's only a little kid, but, like, you know, unfortunately, in that world, you have to grow up a lot faster. And I feel like she's really gonna grow up after that situation.
Yeah, I agree. Now, before we get to the Alpha, Negan, and Lydia scene, April, I'm gonna shoot it over to you for some maybe shout outs in the chat.
Oh my gosh, everyone, thank you all so much for joining us, because we know this is a little more difficult with us tonight. We got Czar, Nina, Glow, Love, Jomo, Beverius. I'm so sorry if I just said that wrong. But I agree with you, by the way. He said I thought he was going to go through the eye socket. I also did as well. Speaking about Earl, Ryan B, everyone in there, thank you all. Back to Earl, Czar, Nicholas says he did what he did it incorrectly, but you know, he tried.
Yeah,
it's the thought that counts.
Exactly.
You guys, we have the best fans ever. You guys are literally awesome for, you know, braving through this whole transition with us. And like I said, this is only temporary while we, you know, deal with the whole coronavirus. We hope you all are staying safe out there. Let's dive in to this last scene, shall we? So this Nina, Alpha, and then Carol scene. I did not see this coming. I mean, if you want to talk about Mary's death keeping, like, getting me, like, off track. Like, I was surprised by Mary's death. I was even more surprised by Alpha, because, like I said, it's episode 12. Like, I didn't expect this at all. Did you?
Yeah. No, not one bit. But I have a question, because I'm so confused. So, was Carol faking it this whole time? Was she really this down and out person? Or was she just really, I'm just going to fake it and put on a show, because I know what's going to happen. I know Negan is going to end up killing Alpha. So all I got to do is just pretend to be the sad old woman. And I don't know. Like, I'm so confused now by that.
Okay. Best question. The same question I wanted to ask y'all. I'm trying to find it now. I believe it was JJ. I'm not going to say it exactly right, but earlier in the chat said something like, Daryl is going to be so pissed when he finds out what Carol did. Because I think that she was truthful, like just, okay, just, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket is what I think that Carol was thinking at this time. So like, clearly now we know how Negan got out of jail because Carol let him out of jail.
Yeah.
Even though Carol was the main one, like fighting against him, being there saying kill Negan the whole time anyway. So it's all just like a lot of mess at this point. But I think she was legitimate, but I think she, like I said, she didn't want to keep all of her eggs in one basket. So she risked the lives of a lot of other people very dumbly, thinking that Negan wouldn't do the job.
So my question is, does Daryl really have right to get mad at Carol? Because she did get rid of their biggest threat this season, and they've been trying to figure out how to, you know, get rid of her. And Carol was the one to do that.
Absolutely. I think Daryl can never actually forgive Negan, because remember, he had him stripped naked in a cell for who knows how long. Like he turned him into an animal. But I agree with April. Carol was just covering all her bases to make sure, like, hey, the job's going to get done regardless. And I think it was pretty cool to see that moment. I think I saw on Twitter there's something somebody had said, Alpha wouldn't stop until this one, Carol, kneeled to her feet or something like that, or bowed her head to her. And then you see Alpha's head rolling over to Carol. It was like, oh, hold your emotion right there. But I was still shocked to see it, man. I thought Alpha was going to last a little bit longer than that.
I mean, talk about some major poetic justice, for real. Also, I don't know if I can fully be on board with this yet, but in chat, Czar Nicholas says, long live Negan. I'm almost there. But I think, when I think about like all that Carol did, knowing that Negan was basically undercover, I mean, maybe she was thinking like we did last week. We all kept saying, like, is Negan in too deep? Like, he hooked up with Alpha.
Yeah.
Well, he had, like, to go through that for the team, man.
And even tonight, this is the thing that I wanted to ask all. I thought whenever he was like walking Alpha up to this cabin where Lydia was not, the whole time I thought, he's trying to get her to say, oh no, I don't need to kill her, and then he won't do anything to her. So yes. I wanted to know if y'all thought the same, because I didn't think that he just wanted to kill her.
No, that's a really good point, April, because I think leading up to that moment,
I actually thought that he was going to kill her. And when he said Beta ain't no Alpha, I thought he was going to try to attempt to take over the group.
Yeah. Not far off.
Sorry, that's my connection. Can you guys hear me?
No, I can hear you.
Yes, oh, yeah. I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I think the moment with Alpha and Negan leading up to the whole death of Alpha, where Negan, you know, is opening up about, you know, his wife who died of pancreatic cancer and all this other stuff, I feel like he was trying to invoke some kind of emotion out of her, some kind of humanity out of her, so that he wouldn't have to kill her, which is actually surprising, because Negan's not that kind of a character. He'll kill you really, really quick. But in this moment, I feel like he was connected with Alpha for some reason and didn't want to, but then ultimately realized that he had to, because she's so far gone.
Well,
Go ahead.
I think it's because he kind of grew with her, you know? He was spending all this time with her, doing all this crazy stuff. He was able to see the real Alpha. And I think under all of that anger and hate, he saw a lot of pain. So in a way, like, I feel like he felt very, very sorry for her. But also he knew there was no turning back for her. You know, she had gone so far down the deep hole that unfortunately there was only one way, one situation out.
Well, because let's be real, in this situation, what she was always going to go into the cabin basically no matter what. So what would have happened? Now that y'all kind of say that, and I'm reading what everyone's saying in chat, like, I think that he was always going to kill her. It was basically him giving her that last moment of not dying, saying that I have to kill my own daughter.
Yeah.
Because she was always going to walk into an empty cabin. And what was going to happen when that happened. She was going to turn around and either do something to him or he was going to do something to her.
He'd be like, psych, just joking.
Well, I mean, there was always that possibility of him, of her being like, you know, maybe I don't have to kill her, and then walking into the cabin, and then him being like, well, good, she's not here, so you don't have to. I mean, psych, I guess. Like, you said, I don't know.
Admit that? Are y'all satisfied with it being Negan? Because I am.
Yes. Hands.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Because I think this Negan needed to do this, because we were introduced to Negan as this main villain, and now we're seeing him shift to the good guy. But he has to take these big steps, in my opinion, for a viewer to see him as a good guy. So for Negan to get rid of the big bad for this season was a big step in his redemption to joining the good side.
Yeah.
And so in those moments, Negan probably said,
yeah.
Go ahead, Cedric.
I was gonna say, I think in those moments, like you guys were saying, just to piggyback, Negan saw a little bit of himself and how far gone he was. And that's why he was asking Alfred all those questions and told the story about his wife and how he lost her. And he has had a chance, even behind bars, to see what real humanity and community looks like for a number of years now. So I think that was his big redemption moment. And he knew, like, all right, this is not what I want to see anymore. And this is what I was, and this is not life. So I thought that was cool. So yeah, kudos to Negan.
Yeah, Benny, you took the words right out of my mouth. I definitely feel like it's poetic justice that Negan was the one to do it. And I mean, technically, yes, he did take her human life, but he also brought back the head for Carol so she can finish it off. So it's kind of like a double whammy. Like, they both kind of get some kind of justice out of it. And I know that we all wanted Carol to be the one to do it because she's been on this, you know, vengeance vendetta since, you know, everything that happened with Henry. So I'm glad that it happened the way it did. I'm actually surprised that I'm glad that it was Negan.
Yeah.
So that is our review of episode 12, season 10, you guys, of The Walking Dead. An amazing episode. Thank you, everybody, in the chat. We want to move on to our special segments. We're going to start with our deadweight segment. Now, our deadweight segment is the character that we think did the least in the episode. April, I'm going to shift it over to you. Who did you think did the least in the episode tonight?
So many people were doing so many things. Who did the least? Oh gosh, I'm gonna go with Ezekiel because he was sitting under a pile of rubble the whole
time. April, I have to go with that one. I wasn't even thinking about that, but as soon as you said that, that's true, because I actually forgot all about Ezekiel, to be completely honest. So yeah, I have to give him that award.
I said Ezekiel last week, so I don't want to do a clean sweep. I'll give you guys a curveball. I'm gonna say Lydia, because Lydia went and got lost in the woods, got captured by Negan, and now we don't even know where she at.
Good point.
That's what? I'm gonna go out of left field, you guys, and I'm gonna say Nabila. Nabila, who was crying about the children and doing all this extraness about, you know, wanting to get to the rendezvous point. I'm like, if you were so concerned about the kids, why didn't you take them? Everybody in the chat, let us know. Okay, thanks. Everybody in the chat, let us know who your dead weight of the episode was. Let's move on to our MVP segment. Our MVP segment is the character that we thought was the MVP of the episode, our most valuable player. April, who's your MVP of the episode?
I mean, I think we all have to say Negan. Not to speak for everyone, Negan was my MVP.
You know what? I agree with Negan, but I'm gonna say also, I'm gonna give it to Carol also, because if it wasn't for Carol, you know, then Negan wouldn't have killed Alpha.
I gotta say Negan. I'm with April, because Negan effectively infiltrated the Whisperers and executed the plan, and I've been waiting for the heel turn for weeks now, and I'm just glad to see it was happening. Negan's on the right side, so he's a deadly weapon to have.
You know what, Benny? I'm actually, Benny, you changed my mind from Negan to Carol. I feel like without Carol, Negan wouldn't have had the opportunity. I mean, she's essentially the one who let him out of the cell. She gave him a chance when she didn't have to. I mean, I'm going to go with Carol being the MVP. That's my thoughts.
No, we're
already everybody in the chat
all wrong because literally the person in chat said Judith. Every person.
Oh, really? Okay.
Really?
We forgot about Judith. Okay.
She has some pretty awesome scenes. So yeah.
Strong case there.
Yeah. Alrighty, guys. Thanks for letting us know who your MVP was. Clearly, Judith is the winner tonight. That is our special segment of our MVP of the episode. We will be back next week on Mondays at 8 p.m. We're going to probably be on the Zoom app as well, because like I said, Los Angeles is in a quarantine right now. So April, let our fans know where they can find you.
Yes. Thank you all so much for joining us. Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wisenhant.
And I am Benny Adams. You guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And I'm Cedric Weldon. Thank you guys for joining us. You can find me on Instagram at Ced Is The Answer and Ced Says on Twitter.
You guys are literally the best fans ever. I am Timothy Michael. You guys can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. Like I said, we will be back next week on Mondays. Quarantine, coronavirus will not stop us from joining you guys. We're glad
that never
stopped you from joining us as well. We'll see you guys next week. Great show.
Bye.
Guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.